things that fit just right, and the radio.
You know, if I'm being honest, I don't think I've ever had a pair of jeans that fit just right. I've had some comfortable ones, but, you know, that song, I figured, it's just that's not, that particular line does not express the Andrew McKay reality. 740 here on News Radio 92.3. John, welcome back. The other JP in my life, that's John Pickens, the other JP in my life, Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning.
Sorry you joined us under these circumstances of having to deal with me. You guys had you hosted a veterans town hall on Tuesday?
Yeah, we had north of 3,000 people participate on the call. Got some good feedback. We're probably, the one thing I take away a lot from the calls, and I appreciate everybody's participation. Talked to the bill sponsor after that call regarding the Richard Starr Act. He was convinced this bill is about to pop up. So anyway, we keep our fingers crossed that we can get this thing on the agenda and hopefully out before Memorial Day.
What bill is that? Is that the, that's not the Never Fight Alone Act. That's something different.
No, this is a different one. I guess I didn't mention it to you. This is regarding paying benefits to disabled vets.
Oh,
so it's long overdue. It's needed. It was something that constituents had reached out to me about. I'd reached out to the bill sponsor, good man, Gus Bilirakis, out of the Pasco County area. So keep your fingers crossed, folks. Hopefully we can get it up and out here within a week.
And then you also announced that, announced it in anticipation of this town hall, or at the town hall, the Never Fight Alone Act dealing with mental health services for veterans, right?
Correct. So when it comes to folks that want to get those type of behavioral treatments, unfortunately, there's just no real bandwidth that we would like to see at our VA centers. So this is prioritizing more dollars into community care to go to local providers, to go to the doctor that you want to go to in order to get some of those treatments that are needed in order to, get back into the workforce, enjoy life, deal with some of the challenges you've been fighting with. So it's good stuff. It's just giving greater flexibility and more predictability.
So I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that within the VA healthcare system that vets already had the ability to go to community care, to a private doctor, instead of getting care from the VA. Is what's new here the fact that it would be for mental health care particularly, or what is it that
correct
makes this different? Okay. And that's
correct,
that's not
correct
already allowed?
Yeah, well, evidently not as much as I thought. And this is, again, this is what we're learning between the last administration and this administration. You know, this is something that in talking with this Secretary Collins' team, this is something that they're hearing a lot about. We're hearing about it along with the district. So, but a lot of times, just because they're hearing it, it's still going to require some type of legislative or congressional action in order to realize that change in policy. But it's going to, it's going to protect the veterans' right to choose their doc. It also specifically reduces the amount of time for getting approval. So, should really cut back on delays.
And then
any type of changes would require congressional action. We're going to protect this program.
Good. You make me think of something. I don't really know how to make this a question. I just kind of want to make an observation, and I feel like this is correct. So you used to work in restaurants. You used to take care of customers all the time. And the way you learn, I assume, in your restaurant about what you need to do differently is you'd ask the customers and they tell you. It seems to me like, just kind of watching you, that you came into office not really pretending to know everything about what the district needs, but you have systematically gone around and asked at NAS Pensacola, what do you need? And asked the veterans, hey, what do you need? And then you're just trying to do that stuff. I mean, it sounds like a really obvious approach to governance, but is your approach basically just to find out what people want and try and do it for them?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is why you have offices around the district, because people need constituent services. Sometimes they need to meet face to face. It's crazy, but you know, I'm a big believer. You learn something every single day. And it's no different than learning how we leverage technology in order to touch more people. You know, I like to be accessible. And, you know, when you do reach out to our office, we've got a pretty good success rate. But a lot of times this is where good ideas for policy come from. This is also, you know, bills that we either file or bills that we're encouraged to file. Sometimes it comes straight from the district because there's those that are just very engaging, and that I'm grateful for it.
You know, we talked a little bit about this earlier. I don't know, dust up, whatever you want to call it, over President Trump's comments that, you know, he's getting ready to go negotiate about Iran. Is he worried about people's pocketbooks? And his answer, no, I'm trying to stop a nuclear war, which to me seems like a dir. Like, that seems like a really easy answer is, yeah, I'm more interested in preventing Iran from having a nuclear weapon than I am about your $4 a gallon gas. Now, people might perceive that as sounding tone deaf or out of touch or some billionaire comment, but to me, I'm like, that's the exact right priorities.
Well, and again, I think you got to take it in the context he was in. He watches a lot of cable news. He sees the comments that are being made. He sees the challenges folks are being faced with. He also knows that a nuclearized Iran is the whole reason why we're in this conflict in the first place. And he's walking on to get on Marine One. It's noisy. They're yelling questions at each other, yelling answers at each other. I think, you know, yeah, look, he definitely does care, but his priorities are finishing the war. And he knows when the war is finished, you know, prices will crater. And I agree with him.
You know, obviously
the market will be flooded.
Yeah, right, right. A big story over the weekend. I know you saw the video with these two EA-18 Hornets, the electronic attack Hornets, that growlers that, you know, collided during the air show. Weirdly, that air show, the last time they had it was in 2008, and they had a death of a demonstration hang glider or something, too, and they hadn't had the air show since. So thank God our pilots survived. You know, all four of them survived, which is, you know, fantastic. We were talking earlier with the with Mongo, who is the former commanding officer of the safety school here at AS Pensacola and formerly training Wing 6 also, so backseaters. He trained all of those folks. And I mean, when I saw this, part of what I, thank God they're alive, what I saw was, you know, man, the training is, but I thought, like, this is why we train. We train for safety because every life matters. We're trying to make sure their lives are safe. And, you know, even when something goes wrong, training kicks in and it makes a big difference. And they all trained here in NAS Pensacola, right?
Sure. And oh, I didn't know that this was the first time they had an air show since the last fatality. That's gotta be gut wrenching for those folks.
No kidding.
You know, but thank goodness these guys, yeah, their safety, their training kicked in. Also, the engineering of the equipment was able to, you know, I'm waiting to get more of a report back, but to be able to hit that ejection and pull out as quick as they did and be able to land safely. And on top of that, all four chutes opened up. That was impressive.
It's good to see the equipment work the way it's supposed to work and the training to work the way it's supposed to work. Yeah. What's that?
That's 100% right. Oh, God, I can't imagine the emotions and that those families went through as they were waiting to find out the status of their loved ones.
Oh, for
glad
sure.
They're safe.
Absolutely. We also had kind of an interesting note. People may not have been tracking this, but since we're in Navy time, we pay a little bit more attention to this. The Gerald Ford returned home finally after having a 326 days deployment, and they got the presidential unit citation. So not just the Ford, but that's all of the other elements that were there with them, the Arleigh Burke class destroyers, all, you know, everybody that was in the group, the top military honor for collective unit. You know, it's these things have a special meaning for us here because, you know, we touch all of these elements in training and, you know, residents and staff. I mean, just when I think about these developments with the Navy, it's, I always think about the hometown.
Sure. Well, and you know, that's the longest carrier deployment since the Vietnam War.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, the Ford talking about really being able to test out every single system of this next generation carrier and,
yeah.
And at a full impact of all those that were on it. So yeah, it was a big deal. But you know, again, couldn't happen without Northwest Florida, that's for sure.
Most definitely. Last thing I was going to ask you about is, Governor DeSantis on Friday signed the Campus Guardian Bill. This is the bill that expands the K-12 Guardian program onto UWF, well, potentially, onto any college campus in the state of Florida, PSC, for example. The difference is that they're not going to wear yellow shirts. They're going to concealed carry instead of openly carry. But it's the same training program, and it's voluntary. As a former teacher and as a dad who's got two students at these campuses, I'm thrilled at the stopping telling people, hey, there's no guns on these campuses. Everybody's open pickings. And especially with what happened at FSU, I'm thrilled to see this get signed.
Yeah, I'm glad. And it's common sense policy. And look, I'm a big believer. As long as you're and this is going to be, trained professionals on campus. I can't tell you enough, it's great to have the right to bear arms. But, guys, you need to go take your gun out to the range, get somebody to show you how to use it. Some people, I was fortunate. I grew up as a child, when my daddy learned how to handle firearms, but not everybody has.
Yeah.
So, please go purchase one, go get some training, enjoy it, be proficient at it, understand what you've got. But knowing that we're going to make sure our campuses are safe at the same time, this is a good step forward, and appreciate the governor's leadership on it.
Absolutely. I said last thing, but I actually had one other thing. Channel 3 has been covering this story pretty well with the lawsuit against the Saudis for not disclosing enough information about what happened to us with the Al-Shamrani attack several years ago. And this was actually a report from Channel 3 that I wanted you to react to. This is Chris Polos is the attorney, and then the anchor is going to give a bit of a commentary afterwards. Listen to this, Jimmy.
We have had 6 years to be told how it is possible that a card-carrying member of Al-Qaeda was walking around our community and was able to commit such a horrific act of violence. And yet no one in our community has been told anything of substance about how that happened, what has been done to correct that and to ensure that it will not happen again.
Friday, the DOJ filed another response saying they do not have to hand over the evidence. Paulos and the other attorneys involved in the case disagree. They called on Congress to look into it. A judge will make the final decision on what to do with the evidence.
Well, I'll tell you, people here want to know, and we've wanted to know ever since it happened. Thoughts about this? The DOJ keeps stonewalling, keeps denying, keeps not disclosing. And people who care about this are frustrated, and they're asking Congress to help. Jimmy?
Yeah, look, we have reached out to the attorney for the Northern District. He's new on the job, as you think about. We've had three different administrations, three different district attorneys for the Northern District, now going on the last 10 years. So as a consistency of what leadership is wanting to do, there's been no consistency. So we, like I said, we did some outreach when the attorney reached out to us. It's a legal matter. We are pushing as much as we can as possible. We don't want to do anything that potentially could contaminate any rights that anybody might have. So we've got to be sensitive to the role that the legislative branch has in this. But at the same time, I was there that night of the shooting. It was horrific. It's not right. We need to get the answers. People still need closure.
Absolutely. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. Look forward to talking to you again next week, sir.
Yeah, see you. Take care.